Mr. Hunter, Reel 2. You mentioned the searchlight that you had.
Yes.
Did you learn, or were you put on to learning the searchlight as soon as you got in, immediately? Was that one of your early tasks?
Yes, the searchlight and the operating of the generator, or a wagon which had a generator in its chassis. Yes.
And was it just the one searchlight at this drill hall?
I think there were two there.
And presumably those were mainly for training on?
Yes, 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 that's right.
Can you describe the searchlight for me?
Certainly, well, I saw one just the other week, didn't I, in Durham. I don't know what diameter they were, but I understand there was a range of 6 miles. And they were operated by two carbon sticks, shall we say, or poles working together. And when we actually went on a weekend and we operated them, you had to be very careful that there was no splash from them onto the reflector of the searchlight. Otherwise, it was a serious job.
And it was presumably a powerful beam.
Oh, yes, yes.
It could go, 6 miles up in the air, of course.
That's right, yes, yes. And we operated... do you want to go under the wartime now? Or?
No, well, at the moment, it's a searchlight unit at this moment in time. I want to just get the idea of what comprised the unit and the
yes.
equipment that you had, and which was starting with the searchlight unit.
Yeah.
So that we can get that picture first.
Mm.
How did it operate then? How did it actually work? You've got this large piece of equipment. How does it operate?
Well, it had to work with the generator, which had to be a given distance from the searchlight. I don't know, I've forgotten now what the cable ran from the generator to the searchlight.
How many would crew a searchlight?
Five, six probably.
And do you recall the various tasks that those people had?
Yes, one was on the generator, two on the sound locators, and I think two on the searchlight, and the the corporal or whatever, corporal sergeant in charge.
And how were you able to move the searchlight?
It traversed on its own base, yes.
Was that automatic, or did you have to push it?
Push it, yes. It wasn't even on a track as they are now, no. No.
The sound equipment, what was that like?
Very primitive. I thought, well, I didn't know then, but when you think of it, very primitive, yes. You heard, or you're supposed to have heard a target south or target north, whatever it was, and you focused around your equipment until you got right onto the target. And then you spoke to the operator on the searchlight, right, left, up, down, or whatever, to bring him onto the target, which was successful sometimes, yeah.
What did the equipment actually look like? Was it, like the gramophone with the horn? Or was it the horn there?
No, it was just like... No... Just like some of these television on a tripod, of course, yes.
And they pointed to where
yes, yes. As you work these around, you got the target, and then you directed the operator of the searchlight onto that.
Now, was it by earphones? Were you talking into a microphone to the people on?
No microphone, no.
Or were you shouting to them?
Shouting, yes, yes, yes. Yes.
If it got particularly noisy in a parade, for example, it must have been difficult to, for people to hear what you were shouting, particularly if...
No, well, the generator was out of range, you see, out of hearing range.
That was why it was some distance away, was it?
Yes, and I think there was a given length for the cable. I may be wrong there, but I think so. Yes.
And you said the commander of the one particular searchlight in this crew would be an NCO?
Yes. There were, well, Lance Corporal or Lance Sergeant, yes. And, of course, a few of them were First World War soldiers.
That was the senior ones who were older men?
Yes, they were.
How old were people like yourself? How old were the others that were with you, the rank and file?
Shall we say 30? I was 23 at the time. And there were older ones and one or two younger ones. Yes.
Did you have to do any drills when you first joined?
Oh, yes. You did the infantry drills, yes.
And we issued with a rifle?
With a rifle, yes. We went to Whitburn Rifle Range once or twice and fired out to sea there with Lewis machine guns and 303 rifles, yes. Yeah.
And you do weapon drill as part of your basic drill again?
Yes.
Being a successor to the Durham Light Infantry Battalion, was your marching drill at light infantry pace, although you were in the another unit?
Yes.
You did light infantry pace?
Yes. Until we went to Southborough. We were stationed in Southborough. I'm speaking now into the war. All right? If you want me to.
But that was the drill change then, at least the marching drill change.
That's right, yes.
Did you do route marches as part of your training?
Not in the territorials, but we did a lot of route marches in the... During the war, yes, a lot.
Yeah, we'll come to that, of course.
Yes. We were down to Southborough, near Tunbridge Wells, and there was a church parade there. The artillery band came. Of course, we were nearly all DLI men. They struck up the band, and off the DLIs went at 120. But that isn't the pace for artillery. It's much less than that.
There must have been some confusion.
There was, yes, until this. Yes.
Do you recall who was commanding the unit at the drill hall?
Sorry?
Who was commanding the unit at the drill hall?
At the drill hall was Colonel Squance, a local solicitor.
What was he like?
Oh, very stern, I would think, yes. He once came around and asked a party of us any complaints. I said, yes, there wasn't sufficient bread. The next day there was quite a lot of bread came along.
So they did encourage you to...
Yes, but he was a sister, shall we say, or... The other officers were all solicitors or accountants, like that. Major Story, mentioned in there, returned after the war and was town clerk of Sunderland. And various...
Was he second in command, Major Story?
No, it was ACC Dixon. That again, another... They were all, shall we say, top men of Sunderland.
Professional men.
That's right, yes, yes, yes.
Does any of the officers stand out? We're talking about these early days. Any of the officers stand out in your memory as being either tough or easy to get on with?
Well, they were all easy to get on with, I think. We had a Lieutenant Marriott, whose uncle, he was a huge boy, only 21. His uncle was, his uncle owned three public houses in Sunderland. I've just forgotten the name, but of course he was a good, we often had him to put to bed.
Like his drink?
Yes, due to drink, yes, that's right. Another one, where he came, because the officers changed very frequently. Yes. We had one, the name of Cavill. He was very strict. We used to say, Cavill is the name, Cavill from the coast I am. All the boys wish me in hell. Cavill from the coast I am.
NCOs, do you recall any of those?
Yes, there were some funny lads among the NCOs. One or two of them have just died recently, the Lance Sergeants and Bombardiers. One I wasn't too pleased with. He called me out to do me night guard, for a quarter of an hour, which didn't go down too well.
You recall his name?
Oh, yes. Green.
By and large, they're a pretty good bunch. They got on pretty well.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
None of them that were bullies, though.
No, they were all friendly lot, shall we say, yes. We used to go down to our station at West Leighton at the time, which is on the A66. We used to go down to Ravensworth for a drink, opposite where Ethan Botham lives, the cricketer. And we used to have our leave from there, 24-hour leave. If we couldn't get home, which was not very far, we used to work in the quarry, local quarry, Fawcett, have a day in there for about 3 and 6, which was a fortune.
Well, now you've mentioned money, I should have asked you before this. What was the payment paid to a territorial soldier?
Shall you see?
And that was the actual time that you were there. We were talking before the war started.
Yes.
What time would your drills be? You went twice a week, but what time were they on?
I don't think that was a bad rate. I don't remember that, no.
But the times that you appeared at the drill hall, how long were you there? And what time did you go there?
Oh, perhaps 7 till 9 or something like that, yes.
And the weekend again? What was a weekend?
The weekend, well, you had bell tents. You went to, I went twice, I think, down to the rugby field in Horton. We pitched up there and...
Were employees very good, employers, sorry, very good at letting people off to do territorial work?
Yes. Well, I would have been allowed a fortnight in 1938, but the war started, so we were to go to Oakham in Rutlandshire.
But they employers did, help the system along. They let people go.
Oh, yes. Now Vauxes, the brewers, very good. Those men who work for Vaux, whether they're in this regiment or any other regiment, were had their wages made up, which didn't go very well with the remainder of us. They were very...
Vaux had a tradition, though.
Oh, the HOD, yes. Colonel Vaux and all, yes. Oh, yes.
Commanding the 7th Battalion.
That's right. All from the Vauxes, yes. Yes. Yes, that didn't go down too well.
How many drills and weekends were you supposed to put in to qualify for your bounty?
Oh, no, I've forgotten that. No, gone.
Did you ever get a bounty whilst you were in those early days?
No, I don't think so. No, no.
Well, this was pretty close to the war, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, yes.
What are your memories of the steps that were taken in the very last stages immediately before the war started to protect the community? Was there anything going on? I mean, thinking in terms of air raid shelters and gas masks and this kind of thing, were they issued?
No, I don't think they were issued. No, no, I don't think so.
Till the war started.
Till the war started, yes. Mm-hmm. As far as I can remember. Yeah.
Can you remember where you were and what you were doing when Chamberlain made his statement on the Sunday morning?
No, I can't remember, but I was called up on the Friday.
That was before the two, 3 days before the war started.
That's right, yes, yes. And we went to Teesside with the searchlights and the generator, of course, and the sound locator and the Lewis machine guns, which were pea shooters.
These were being used as light anti-aircraft weapons, weren't they, the Lewis machine guns?
No, they were with the infantry regiment.
They weren't there to protect the searchlight site, though.
Yes, they were on the on the site, on the searchlight side. That's correct. Yes, yes.
What exactly? How many searchlights made up a battery?
There were six made up troops. No, it wasn't a troop. It was a section. Then I think section. The section that I was connected to was stationed at West Leighton. On the year 66, there was a searchlight close to that one. There was another one at Newsom. There was one at Mellisonby. One at Blue Anchor near Scotch Corner. And one at Huswell. And I was a DR. Dispatch rider, and before any radio, I used to have to run round and shout, "Take post." You used to have to run round all of them in the dark. I knew my way around exactly.
So you were attached to the battery headquarters or the section headquarters?
The section headquarters. It's a DR, yes.
What rank was in charge of that section?
A full lieutenant and a second lieutenant.
Do you recall who made up the headquarters staff?
What, in that section?
Yes. You've got your lieutenant or second lieutenant, then who was in the office or in the headquarters section?
Oh, just...
Or the headquarters other section?
Yes, just a...
Yourself as a DR?
The sergeant, yes.
Was there a clerk or anything?
Was there
anyone working in a small office?
No. The offices were, until we built huts at West Leighton, the offices were in Leighton Hall.
And you were in what, tents?
We were in tents, yes, until we erected the huts, yes.
And presumably the communication system would be from the battery to the section, and then of course you would carry
the communications were from battalion headquarters. We're still in the infantry, which was at Gatherley Castle. Do you know Gatherley Castle? No, it's now demolished. It's between Scotch Corner and Cuttrick Village on the left-hand side, below Morton Grange. Morton Grange, I think, is a, I'm not sure it's a hospital or not, down on the old, on the A1.
And you were a section of a battery. What was the battery number you were in?
The battery, not well, a battalion, 388, no, sorry, 388 battalion, yes.
And the battalion...
388 battalion was a battalion of the 47th DLI.
That's your battalion. I'm trying to get now, the, you know, you've got a battalion and a battalion headquarters. How many detachments or sections made up a battalion?
Six.
So there were six sections of six searchlights in each. Is that how it goes?
Yes, yes.
So quite a number of them.
Yes, oh, right around North Yorkshire. Yes.
Do you know why that you was around North Yorkshire? There doesn't appear to be anything to protect it.
Oh yes, it was to locate the aircraft coming in to bomb Tayside, and a very important function was for homing beacons. That's when the aircraft were coming, returning to the various stations around the various airfields around Cuttrick. I say it was Cuttrick, but it was Cuttrick area, actually, in North Yorkshire, you see. You had to give them a homing beacon. If they were coming into Topcliff, or the main one down there now? Never mind. Wherever they're coming into, you shone your searchlight up like that, and down.
From the vertical down to the almost the horizontal.
That's right, yes. That was the direction. Yes.
So you're working then with the fighter stations around you. So if an enemy plane came over and you would get onto it, then was that for a fighter to get onto the enemy aircraft?
Yes, that's right. Yes, yes, yes. We were a long way from Tayside, as you know, but our direction, our searchlights were pointing to the target, and they were to pick it up with the heavies on Tayside.
So, could we take a situation where an enemy aircraft were coming in from presumably your direction, put it that way?
Yeah.
What happened then? You get your searchlights onto it, presumably.
You get the searchlight onto it, yes. And then once the searchlight was onto it, he followed it.
And then you'd follow that across on his route towards.
Yes, yes, until it was out of range, yes.
So when it was out of range, becoming to go out of range, were other searchlights...
Other searchlights picked it up, yes.
So it was passing it on all the way.
That's right, yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
Presumably information was coming in all the time as to the aircraft and numbers and height and so forth.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And was the system of one searchlight on an aircraft, or how did that work?
Or the two or three, yes. The more, the better.
Presumably an aircraft would try and get out the searchlight.
Oh, try to, yes, but of course they couldn't maneuver the aircraft the way they can now. He was sailing across, and you just had to follow him across and hoping that the big lads would pick it up. Yeah.
We've come to the beginning of the war, as you say, and you will then move to this site where the North Yorkshire.
Yes.
How long were you there?
We were there until 1942, I think.
For quite a time.
Oh yes, yes. We we were villagers. We were villagers, you see.
And the searchlights were near buildings.
And there was one, that particular one was, yes. The others were near buildings as well, some in farmland, some.
And how do you get on with the villages?
Oh, very well, very well. The gentleman who gave us the employment in the quarry was a decent chap.
And was the village appropriate to relax in?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
The site of the searchlight, was it protected in some way?
Oh, yes, sandbagged. Yes, yes, sandbagged. Sandbagged around the generator and around the equipment with a dugout as well. Yeah, yeah.
And presumably that you would have guard duties.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Two on and two off.
Until you got your huts built, were the conditions pleasant or unpleasant?
Well, they were rather primitive at first. Washing wise, toilet wise, until I've got the huts erected and.
How were you fed?
The rations were taken into battalion headquarters at Gatherley Castle, and each section had a vehicle of some sort. We had a Vauxhall 30 hundredweight wagon. There were four of them in the around the company, and the driver used to go down and pick up the rations from the headquarters and deliver them to the sites. In our case, it was six sites. Yes. He would start up at Hoodsville, at the other side of Richmond, and work his way through right back to headquarters.
And did cooking on your own site?
Cook, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The cook we had was a specialist in door puddings. They were like lead. Never mind, he here.
Did the local people give you things to eat? Were they kind in that sense?
No, I can't remember them having. No, I think they were. They weren't overfed themselves, were they?
Were you invited into their homes?
Yes, one or two of them, yes, yes, yes. We had a very friendly postmistress in the next village in East Leighton, and we used to have our mail unofficially delivered to her. So we got it two or three days earlier than if it had come through battery headquarters.
And mail came quite often to you?
Yes, yes, yes.
How do your parents feel now that you're not just in the Churchill Army now, you're in effect a regular soldier, there's war on?
Well, did you start to accept it? Yes.
Did you show any worry? Because their experiences would be of the First World War.
Yes, that's right, yes. No. Of course, everyone wondered when it was going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen in 6 months. Finished in 6 months. 6 years, wasn't it?